Hello.
My name is Kennedy Sam, and you're listening to Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU. On this program, we sit down with creative leaders and artistic innovators in our city. Today, we are sitting down with Steve Veracruz, Carla Bautista, and Kay Rinke, each representing a different organization hosting upcoming events highlighting culture, art, and community. Later, we'll hear a segment, David and Art with David Smith. First, I'm joined by local artist and co-founder of the Central Texas Artist Collective, Steve Veracruz, to learn more about the upcoming Ekphrasis show. Hey, Steve. Thank you for being here today.
Hi, Kennedy. Thank you.
So to start off, can you please give the listeners a quick overview of what exactly the Central Texas Artist Collective is and some of the goals of the organization?
We're just an artist collective, just like a loose-fitting network or group of creatives to really find a voice in each other and find ways to network, not only creative ideas, mm-hmm. but to also find ways to plug in either specific ideas and neat new projects or getting to know different types of supporters in the city, such as businesses that could or be interested in curating some of the mm-hmm. artwork. So we just try and maintain a creative environment to keep the creativity going. Because it's very important when we, as artists, feel like there's room to share.
And what art forms are all represented in this organization?
I think that's the fun part, because as an artist collective, art really has no boundaries. So you have mediums and creatives of all sorts, of all walks, basically anywhere from your traditional mm-hmm. visual artists to writers, to musicians, to sculptures, to glass blowers. We've had just about every kind of artist out there, photography,
right.
Even dancers. I mean, you know, the list goes on. Any way of really showing that freedom of expression, you have just that capability of, you know, showing some artistic inclination.
Ekphrasis has been around for several years now. Can you explain to anyone who isn't familiar with the exhibition what exactly Ekphrasis means and what they can expect?
Yeah, absolutely. Ekphrasis is a Greek term, and it means to provide a narrative or written commentary to a visual work of art. And yes, this is a very uncommon name. Mm-hmm. It's so unknown. But when it came across our radar, we just really had to highlight it and really participate in it. I think it all began when we started to attend a lot of the poet group sessions.
Mm-hmm.
One such is called the Waco Poet Society. And we would attend that regularly. And upon doing so, we again met another large array of talent by way of writers and poets and even songwriters with such profound things to say. And then we realized the combination of having a original written piece mm-hmm. that can combine with a visual work of art was actually a thing, and it had a name.
Wow.
And so luckily we were able to locate that particular title, which is Ekphrasis, and really bring that to this community and exercise this new ability for artists to engage in. And not only that, express it in various ways to the public, in which we also like to provide it in an educational form.
Right. So the theme for this year's show is Veracity, the Art of Truth Telling. What is the process behind recruiting artists and poets to participate in this event?
Well, at first it was very challenging because this is such a different and new thing. It was very unfamiliar, and it required enough discussion with other potential talents and other creatives that might have been interested mm-hmm. but were very unclear on what this was. So, you know, in its inception and at the beginning, it required a certain level of discussion and even right. Representation or examples of us showing one or two sample artworks with other artists that were close to us so we could show them or give them a clear example of how
right.
this was going to play out. And thereafter, once we do a call for the artists on this particular type of show for Ekphrasis, we ended up having a pretty solid, I guess you could say, devoted team of artists that mm-hmm. was that became familiar with this type of show and absolutely loved it,
right.
and were all on board to really participate in again.
Mm-hmm. And are these artists and poets locally based, or is it an open call, you know, to the nation?
I will say the first show we did was in 2016, and we had artists from across the country, which was surprising.
Yeah.
You know, we had no idea. It just, the word on it got out somehow. But, you know, in 2017, we did another show, and then this latest round for this year, 2019, all these artists are community artists, are from the area in Central Texas.
And this year's visual pieces are on display right now on 16 or so storefronts downtown?
That is correct. Presently, we do have them on display mm-hmm. in the downtown area in a centralized location between 6th and 8th Street
right.
on Austin and Washington Avenues. And you will find them scattered about, but within the storefront windows of those businesses in clear view mm-hmm. so you yeah. can really experience what the show is about.
So I was looking on the map that you guys have posted on you guys' Facebook, mm-hmm. and it's described in the legend as a walkable art gallery. Can you share the reasoning behind choosing to showcase the art in that fashion compared to just having it the month before the official show in a gallery as a traditional?
Yeah, that was so much fun and so interesting at the time, because we were trying to find a way to really publicly display this unique type of show.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we spent a lot of time downtown, we got to looking about and around the atmosphere and the aesthetic of it all, and showing us that our city itself, especially in this downtown area, could actually display this type of exhibition mm-hmm. in this manner, where you could bring the gallery to the people and
right.
you can immerse the public in that space and with their surprise find these beautiful pieces of work visually and written to automatically engage in
right.
just by caring about on a local or daily basis.
So the official showing of the pieces will be at Cultivate 712 on November 1st. How will the element of the poet or the written element be presented to the viewers?
That's going to be another interesting aspect
uh-huh.
to this. We've never really had this under this kind of gallery setting, and it's going to have to be all displayed in a correct and a very attractive manner,
mm-hmm.
along with a lot of other bonus artworks and featurettes that we have lined up for this type of show. It's going to be very interesting to see how it turns out.
So to wrap it up, what do you hope people take away from this exhibit?
I really hope that they will find the topics at hand to really resonate with them
mm-hmm.
and acquire that education that we're trying to offer through this artistic display, and to help others along the way on how and what this art says to them, how
right.
it speaks to them, so that they can carry it on to someone they know, such as another loved one or someone in need.
Steve, thank you for stopping by and sharing this unique way to view art downtown.
Thank you so much.
You can find the curated works of this year's Ekphrasis Veracity artwork in various storefronts on Austin Avenue and Washington Avenue between 6th and 8th Street. The final showing of all the pieces will be at Cultivate 712 November 1st at 6 p.m. and tickets are $10. So our second guest of the day is Carla Bautista. Carla is a grad student at Baylor University who is a member of the team helping to organize the upcoming Ofrenda and Dia de los Muertos Festival. Carla, we're happy to have you here with us today.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Can you share who is the creator of this event and how you got involved?
Yes, so Eric Linares, the owner of Taqueria Quetzalco, is actually the one that created the event. And I met him through just involving myself in the community and going to different events around town.
So for those who might be unfamiliar with the history of Dia de los Muertos, can you explain the significance of this holiday to the Mexican and Hispanic culture?
Yes, yeah, so Dia de los Muertos is the Day of the Dead. And so when you think of that, I don't know, you maybe think, you know, death, but it's actually a celebration of life and a celebration of remembering your relatives and your friends that have already passed and really reminding ourselves of even our own mortality. But overall, it's just a celebration of life and getting together to remember the good memories and who those people were.
The Dia de los Muertos Festival will be held November 2nd at the South Waco Rec Center. However, leading up to the festival, there will be an ofrenda in that same space. For those who may not know what an ofrenda is, can you share what happens during that time of reflection?
Yes, so an ofrenda is basically an altar where people bring in, you know, favorite foods, other things that remind them of their past loved ones. And it's just a place to display kind of their life and pictures and food and candles. And it's just basically a display of remembrance.
And is this open and to the community participate, or is this kind of a closed event?
No, it's actually a community-wide event. So we're actually looking for people that may be interested in helping decorate and setting it up to contact us to get plugged in to help.
So what can participants expect at the festival happening on November 2nd?
So this is a family-friendly festival, and we really want to make sure to connect multiple communities and just bring people out into one common place. It's essentially an event for the community, by the community. So we're going to have local vendors, art, music, live dancing. We're actually going to show Coco on a screen. And so we really just want people to come out and honor their loved ones, but also have a great time.
So how long has this event been going on in Central Texas?
So in Waco, this is actually the first event created by Eric, but I know that there have been other events similar to this one. But this one specifically, this is the first year that it is happening.
So you guys have received a lot of support from local businesses when it came to organizing this. What's the community's reception of this week of events?
I think people are just excited to have another event that showcases a culture that maybe we're not familiar with, or, you know, have heard about but haven't really been involved. And so I think this is just an event that helps bridge multiple communities and people, and everyone's just looking forward to not only the events but also the significance of this day.
How many people are you guys expecting to come out?
Ooh, that's a good question. I know on Facebook, like 300 plus people have already said that they're going. So we're hoping a lot more people come out and enjoy this.
So when people are leaving this festival, what is one thing that you hope that they take with them?
Yeah, so again, like I mentioned, Day of the Dead or Dia de los Muertos is usually about, you know, remembering those loved ones that have passed away and just reminding us of the joy of life and how, you know, mortality is inevitable, but we could make a great time on this earth.
So, Carla, you mentioned earlier there have been other Dia de los Muertos celebrations in the past. Do you know what inspired Eric to host his own? Is there like a growing need in the community for these type of celebrations?
Yeah, so Eric, I think he's just a huge community organizer. He believes that the community should come together for these types of events that maybe do showcase one culture. And his vision is that, you know, people from multiple communities and, you know, multiple parts of Waco can come together and celebrate together as one community. And yes, there is a Hispanic population already here, and so I think it's just also celebrating them and their culture.
So if someone would like to participate as a vendor, volunteer, or even a sponsor, are there opportunities like that available?
Yes, so there's definitely opportunities for people to become vendors, sponsors, or sponsor packages that a company or business can purchase, but also we are in need of volunteers to help manage the tables for the face painting, for the sugar skull making event, and also just creating props for the event, like paper flowers. And we actually have a Google Sheet where members of the community can sign up, and we'll get the materials to them. You know, get some friends, host a sugar skull making party, make some paper flowers, and then bring them back so they can be on display for the event.
So you mentioned sugar skulls and paper flowers. Do you know the significance of that for this holiday?
Yes. So for the sugar skulls, they represent the departed soul, and they're usually decorated very beautifully and usually like a folk art style with just big smiles, big eyes. So even as something that represents death, it is made to represent life. And the paper flowers actually remind us of the fragility of life, and the Mexican marigolds that are orange, they're known as a flower of the dead.
Well, thank you, Carla, for sharing about the importance of this cultural event and how to get involved.
Yes, thank you for having me, and I'm looking forward to seeing y'all there.
The community-wide ofrenda will be held Monday, October 28th through November 2nd at the South Waco Recreational Center, as well as the Dia de los Muertos Festival on November 2nd from 6 to 10:30 p.m. Find more information on the Facebook event Dia de los Muertos Festival or on creativewaco.org/blog. Marc Chagall was an innovative artist who, despite wild stylistic flourishes, was rooted in tradition deeper than almost any other. Here's David Smith with this week's edition of David and Art.
How do we keep our balance? The character of Tevye asks with a twinkle in his eye at the beginning of Fiddler on the Roof.
That I can tell you in one word. Tradition!
That 1964 musical, set in a Jewish village in European Russia at the dawn of the 20th century, remains a perfect way in which to observe the difficult relationship between tradition and relentless change. A few days ago, my daughter came home and explained that in her art class, she had been given the choice of reproducing a Picasso painting or a Chagall painting, and I was delighted she chose Chagall. No other artist blended the traditional and the revolutionary as skillfully as did Marc Chagall. In doing so, he created some of the most powerful art of the 20th century. No other major painter made the small, intimate world of Jewish village life as central to his work as did he. For him, tradition was the material out of which he made his often wildly experimental and thoroughly modernist paintings. Chagall was born in 1887 in Vitebsk, a town that was about half Jewish and was then in the Russian Empire. In his youth, he attended an art school, and in 1910, he relocated to Paris, the center of the art world. There, he met revolutionary painters and closely studied their controversial styles. He experimented enthusiastically with the cubism of Picasso and with the garish color palette of Fauvists like Matisse and Delaunay. Yet he missed Russia. Tradition still beckoned him. Alone among his contemporaries, Chagall took the stylistic ideas that were abundant in Paris while he was there and incorporated them into paintings of the most conservative and traditional culture anywhere in Europe, that of Jewish village life in his homeland. I've written about Western art a couple of times in the past month, and to tie those familiar images of cowboys, horses, and canyons to Chagall's floating people, smiling chickens, thoughtful rabbis, and, yes, fiddlers on roofs, might seem a stretch, but it's not. Both seek to enshrine elements of life as old as time, birth, faith, marriage, the connections between nature and humans. Today, Vitebsk is in Belarus, and that country proudly hails Chagall as its most famous and beloved son. In the swirling history of 20th century art, Chagall still stands as a testimony to artists, and indeed, even to those of us who aren't artists, of the powerful results that are possible when radical innovation and progress still allow space for tradition.
You're listening to Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU, and I'm your host, Kennedy Sam. The Professional Artists of Central Texas, or PACT, is another group of artists creating their own opportunities to show art in Waco. The nonprofit is gearing up for its annual Brazos Fine Art Show and Sale at the Hilton Waco. PACT co-founder Kay Renke is here to talk about it. Thank you for being here, Kay.
Thank you.
So can you tell us a little bit about the mission of PACT and how the organization came to be?
This is a little bit unusual because I moved here from the Hill Country of Texas, and I was looking for other artists. And my hairdresser just happened to know another artist that was also looking for other artists. And we met, and basically the organization was formed. So they started with two of us, and now there are 13 professional artists in our organization.
And what around what time was
about
this
4 years ago.
4 years ago? Mm-hmm. So what is it like to practice fine arts in Waco?
It can be a very lonely time because a lot of artists, they paint in their homes or their studios. And so it's important that we have these organizations where artists can work together, can find opportunities to display their work and for other people to see their work. And our organization, one of the things is we would like to promote fine art in the community and provide professional development and support for all artists.
So are there spaces in which you feel supported, or are there any challenges those outside of the creative community might not be aware of?
Well, one of the reasons that we are having this show is that there really is a lack of space for many artists to display their work. And one area that we're really working with are artists that are emerging and don't have a place where they can display their work and that lack commercial visibility.
So can you tell us a bit about the Brazos Fine Arts Show and Sale that's happening on November 8th through 10th?
Well, it is a show and sale with a gala Friday night. The gala is at the Hilton on Friday night. It's a ticketed event through the Hilton. Then the weekend is free and open to the public. The show has a variety of artists that are going to be participating. We have emerging artists, including Waco art students from Baylor, and they have an art professor that's a member of our group, and he's going to be there displaying and with them. We have artists from all over Texas. We have local artists that are professional artists. We have some that were students at Baylor and now have graduated, and we have them kind of maybe their initial displaying right. of their artwork. So that's exciting for us. And it's the networking that's important.
So how do you recruit these artists to participate in the show?
Many of our members are professional artists that display all over the nation. We have artists that have owned galleries. They have been graphic designers. They meet all these fine artists and have invited them.
This event is categorized as a juried art show.
Correct.
Can you explain what that is and how it's different than a regular, what people would think an art show is?
A juried art show is very common among artists that show in the shows that you hear about everywhere, where they have tents and all the artists show their work. This is very common to be juried. And so what we wanted to do is to make sure that the art that came to Waco would be the quality that would really inspire the community to buy art, to appreciate art. So that was important to us that happened.
One thing we haven't talked about is what exactly fine art is.
That's a good question.
Yeah, so can
That's
you explain
a very good
that?
Question. And to be honest, probably not one single artist will give you the same answer as another artist. Sometimes they make distinctions, fine art, fine crafts. Typically, fine art or fine crafts include paintings, sculpture, pottery, jewelry. They are typically, honestly, a little more expensive mm-hmm. than maybe the crafts. And the people that do them, not only do they have a lot of experience, they have a lot of education in making these items, whether it's, you know, a painting or pottery or jewelry.
So what can guests expect at the gala event happening on Friday the 8th?
The Hilton has been a big backer for us, and they want to promote us as much as possible. So we have coming to there, we have speakers, we have nonprofit Raising Wheels that is a community effort. They're going to speak. We have speakers that will talk to the people that are there about the importance of art in their life. And there is food and drinks. And then, but the most important thing is they get a first look at the artwork.
So they can buy artwork that night.
They can buy artwork and they get first choice because they will be the first ones to see the artwork.
Perfect. So art lovers, come Friday night.
That's exactly right. Decorators, art lovers, people that have new homes, everybody come Friday night, buy you a ticket, and it's a fun time.
And where can they find these tickets?
At the Hilton Waco.
And can you give them a price of how much they cost?
They're $35.
And so what art forms will be at the Juried Art Show?
Well, we have oil painters, watercolorists, acrylic painters, mixed media. We have pottery. We have sculpture. We have wooden art. We have a dentist here in town that covers guitars with stained glass. It's such a wide variety. There's something for everyone.
And this is a free event.
Free. Everybody come. Free, open to the public. It was such a fine event last year that's all we heard about was how amazed people were when they walked in the ballrooms and saw all the art.
So that allows for people who typically would not
exactly
see this kind of art
exactly
experience it.
Exactly. And I have to add that this is made possible by a grant from Creative Waco. We are very appreciative of that. We also have major sponsors, the Waco Symphony Orchestra and the Waco Hilton. But without these sponsors, we could not have done this show, and so we are most grateful.
Well, Kay, thanks for stopping by today, and we are very excited for this event.
Thank you.
The Brazos Fine Arts Show and Sale Gala is Friday, November 8th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Hilton Waco. The art show is free and open to the public on Saturday, November 9th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday, November 10th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Waco Convention Center. Tickets for the gala can be bought through the Hilton Waco. This conversation will be posted on kwbu.org. You can also visit creativewaco.org/blog for content related to this episode. Catch the next episode on Friday, November 22nd for more deep dives into local arts. This has been Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU, and I'm your host, Kennedy Sam. Thanks for tuning in.